This past year, we've been considering at the camp the thought of, Lord, teach us to pray. And so throughout this season, we've considered that in our morning devotions with the staff, and ones of the ministers have used that, and in the village, and so on. And so we're thankful that God is wanting to teach us to pray. So I just like to say this at the doors, are there any there on that side? There will be, okay? If you haven't received this staff devotional, it's for everyone, even if you're not on staff. We'll make you an honorary member right now, tonight. You are honorary member of staff. You can take it and read it. There are selections in it from our founder, Brother Hans Waldfogel, Uncle Hans, and others, Andrew Murray, E.M. Bounds, and so on. I think you'll be encouraged. And so take it home, read it, and then there are little bookmarks that for each one of you. If you didn't receive it, again, they'll be at the doors, all right? So please take them. They'll still be good in 2024, but not as good. You know what I mean? It's for now, 2023. So take it. Tonight, just before we close this meeting at 9 o'clock, I'm giving you a heads up, okay? So how much time do I have? 5. Someone said 5. That kid needs to go back to school. I think that was my daughter, Brother Paul. I'll tell you a little funny story. I have time right in my 22 minutes for a funny story. So I was my first night here during fourth period. I didn't come right at the beginning, but my kids were here, my daughters, and they were trying to explain to one of the other waitresses what it was going to be like when Dad arrived. And I don't think she believed them until at 9:30 I said, so to begin tonight, and the one girl, they said, her mouth dropped. Like, no. Welcome to Pilgrim Camp. Anyway, praise God. But I'd like to just consider, just real briefly with you tonight, the teaching that the Lord gave in response to that question. His disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. They had observed that John the Baptist had taught his disciples to pray. They had observed Jesus praying, and there was something that was, you know, working in their hearts. Lord, we want you to teach us to pray. Now, how many of you have ever prayed? Let me see. Raise your hand. I think everyone has prayed. We begin to teach our children from earliest age to pray, maybe at bedtime, right, and at mealtime, and at family devotions, and we encourage our children to pray. And I think prayer in its simplest, maybe the simplest definition is that I talk to God, and God talks to me. And the second part is important because sometimes we limit prayer to I tell God what I need and then he's supposed to do what I ask, right? That's kind of our conception of prayer, understanding. But the heart of prayer is that I talk to God and I listen and he talks to me. And that develops into a relationship that forms the basis for my relationship with God. Thank God that he's given us his word. And that too is part of how we pray. We pray the promises of God. We pray, we read in his word. We can pray the prayers of the Bible. Did you know there are many prayers in the Bible? I think someone has counted, there are 365 promises or something like that. But there are also many prayers in the Bible that we can use as we pray. And we've considered that in these days, looked at different prayers that people have prayed and how God has answered. God spoke to them and God worked on their behalf. But in Luke chapter 11, if you want to just turn there just real quickly with me, Luke 11. We find right at the beginning this prayer that Jesus gives his disciples in response to their request, Lord, teach us to pray. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're praying the prayer that Jesus gave because his disciples asked them, teach us to pray. Now, is the Lord's Prayer the only teaching on prayer that Jesus gave? No, there's many other places where he talks about prayer, and even in this chapter, he elaborates on that. But let's just take a look at the Lord's Prayer. We also find that in the book of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, right? He teaches them to pray the same prayer. But here it says, when you pray, say. When you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven. And I think that really is again the basis for our approach to God. We come based on a relationship that we have with him. Now, he is our heavenly Father by creation. Did you know that? He made you. He made everything that we see in this world. He made the stars. He made the universe. I don't know, someone was saying, Uncle Tom, that there was going to be a meteor shower. I don't know, did that happen already and we missed it?
It was last weekend.
It was last weekend, yeah. We've had a lot of clouds, and so we haven't seen too many stars, at least while I've been here. But God made all that. And you look up in the heavens, and someone was showing me pictures last night. They had taken pictures of the stars, and there was the Big Dipper, and just the whole sky filled with the handiwork of God. God is our Father by creation. But he also is our Father by redemption. He redeemed us. And when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, Our Father, he is teaching them on the basis of redemption. That he was come to introduce us into this new relationship with God. Because of the work that he accomplished on the cross, because he went to Calvary and paid the price for our sins, we now are reconciled with the God who created us. We now know him as the God who redeems us. He is our Father. And remember who's saying this. That's Jesus, right? Jesus is including us in his family. Family and friends this weekend, that's how we call it. But think of it, we're a part of a larger family. It's not just our individual families. No, if you're here, you're part of the family of God. Because of Jesus. Because he's brought us in to that relationship. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten, or his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so when we respond to his love and we kneel at the cross and we confess our sins and we repent and turn to God in faith and say, Lord, I need you to be my Savior. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Well, he makes us his child. You become one of his sons and one of his daughters. An interesting thing is someone has said that God has no grandchildren. You understand that? God has no grandchildren. So Audrey is not a child of God because Brother Gordon was her grandfather, or that I'm her father. I'm getting confused now. She's a child of God because she met Jesus herself. She knelt at the cross. She accepted Christ. And we all have to do that. You understand that. And so then you are born into God's family. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's good to remember that God is in heaven. It helps us to remember our place, so to speak. You and I are not God. You and I are not the ones who are in charge, so to speak. We'd like to be. I think one of the teachings of this age is that you're a God unto yourself. You make the rules, and you know it's all relative. You know, there's no real truth. There's no real authority. You live a good life and you don't hurt anybody, and you're a good person, and that's the way we sometimes view life, or our society views life. And they sidestep the fact that there is a God in heaven, our Father who art in heaven. And as our heavenly Father, he sees us, he knows us, he cares for us, he provides for us, he protects us. He leads us. What else? He does all those things, right? He makes us a blessing. Hallelujah. And so, the next part of that is our response to that. He is our Heavenly Father. And the next phrase is, hallowed be thy name. I think the thought there is that we hold his name in reverence. We desire to please him. We desire to honor him by the way we live. I'm so blessed when my children do things to please their dad, you know? Do you have kids like that? Some of them, sometimes. But we ought to be that way with our Father in heaven. Do you have a desire to please him? To live in a way that his name will be glorified, his name will be honored? You know, he has given us that name. We're called Christians. We want the world to see what a real Christian is. How often that name of God has been somewhat dishonored by people, so-called Christians. But we want to be true children of our Heavenly Father and honor his name by living in a way that he is glorified by our lives. We'll just look at one more phrase there. It says, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. I don't believe Jesus was necessarily looking to some future time when he said, thy kingdom come. He made it very clear that the kingdom of God is within us, right? He said, the kingdom of God is within you. So I think it speaks to his reign in our hearts. Is Jesus your king? Is God your king? It means he reigns. He's Lord. I remember some years ago someone asked me, can Jesus be my Savior without him being my Lord? I don't think so. What do you think? Well, maybe we try that. But no, he's come to be your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so your kingdom come, your will be done. These are simple phrases, right? Simple things. I think even we can understand that. Lord, we want you to be in charge. Lord, I give you this day. Let your kingdom come today. Let your will be done in me today. You see, sometimes we think of the will of God as something like this grand plan that he has for, you know, an overarching plan for our entire lives. That's God's will, right? But that has to be lived out every day. You understand that? I mean, you can't say I'm still trying to find God's will for my life and then kind of just live every day the way you want to. No. If we say, Lord Jesus, today I want to do your will. Teach me today, Lord, to please you. Teach me today to do those things that you want me to do. And then you'll find out throughout the day, there will be choices that you make. I don't know how many choices we make every day. I've never stopped to really think, but I think it's quite a few. And each time you have that choice, you say, Lord, I want to please you. Lord, help me to choose you. In everything I do, in everything I say, the thoughts I think, the places I go, what I listen to, what I watch, what I read. Lord, I want to be pleasing to you. I want your will to be done. And I believe if we would learn to live that way, then that grand scheme, that grand will of God, yes, I think it would fall into place. As our brother Joshua said, I believe he was endeavoring to please God every day. And because of that, God honored him. And maybe unconsciously, he didn't plan it, right? But God planned it. And that's the thing. God has a will that he is working out, but I believe he works that out day by day, step by step. So our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And so for these days that we have together here at camp, let's pray and believe that God's will be done, that his kingdom will come, and that he will be able to make himself more real and precious to each one of us. So Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Hallelujah. Well, we should sing that. 398. 398. Okay, we'll stop there. Praise God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Tim, would you pray with us, please? Closing.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this call to learn, to continue to learn how to pray, how to reach out to you, how to communicate with you, how to receive from you.
Yes, Lord.
We ask, Lord, that this will be some days of laying hold of this idea and this way of life.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you that you desire to speak to us. Lord, give us that same desire, that we would know you, that we would pray without ceasing, that our lives would be in you through prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, so after we let you go, you can just make your way down to the boathouse. You can, like I said, get your ice cream. You can stay down there. You can talk. This is a time for you to get acquainted, a time of fellowship. It's a time for Ren to go to bed. And she's already resting in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. All right. So just enjoy one another, all right? Let's let the love of God flow among us in these days. Okay, get acquainted. I'm so happy. There are some here for the first time on staff. That always makes me happy. And like I said, let's just enjoy one another, enjoy the presence of God. All right? So, Lord, we just commit ourselves to you for the rest of this evening. We thank you for one another, and we thank you for your many blessings. And so, Lord, make us a blessing to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You are dismissed.